What is it?
It's time to go back.
Welcome.
Hey there, welcome back to Generation S. It's a podcast about growing up in the 90s and the early 2000s. Let me put it to you this way. If your childhood Saturday mornings were lit up on TV with a man in a classy gray suit and a really slick red bow tie, this podcast is for you. I'm Dan Kemp, and today I am joined by the host and creator of the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast and returning guest on the show here, Miss Amy Lewis. Amy, welcome back.
Yeah, thank you so much. It's really great to be back. I think this is the first time that I have reappeared on a show.
Oh, really?
So this is very exciting. Yes, because I know everybody's very busy in the podcast world. Sometimes collaborating on stuff, you know, routinely can be a challenge, but it's very exciting to be back for the second time on this fantastic show.
Absolutely. I am super excited to have you back. And today, so you're joining me for a very specific reason.
Yes.
Today's episode, if you saw in the title, we are essentially remembering Pee Wee Herman, Paul Rubens, who unfortunately passed away a couple of weeks ago. And I actually wanted to do an episode about this last week, but I had already had one recorded about the Barbie movie. So I wanted to get this out as soon as possible. Obviously, you know, fresh on our minds, the death of Paul Rubens after a very short private bout with cancer.
Yes.
And not a lot of celebrities do that, but when they do it, it really hits you. You know, when you have these celebrities that you don't know there's anything wrong, and all of a sudden something comes out, whether they're still alive or they've even recently passed away, that they were privately battling some disease, like Norm Macdonald, another one that comes to mind, or
yes,
you know, Chadwick Boseman from, you know, the Black Panther.
Yes.
So it's always rough. But let me ask you, Amy, when you found out about, you know, Paul Rubens and his passing away, I mean, what was your first reaction?
My first reaction was, I had no idea that he was sick, and sounds like a lot of his close friends didn't even know. And second of all, I couldn't believe that he was 70, because he always seemed so sort of ageless to me. And I didn't realize that he was, I mean, basically my parents' age, because he seemed so youthful and kind of childlike. And that's kind of how he described his character. So it seemed very odd that this sort of, you know, childhood icon of mine and in my childhood, my sister's childhood was, I mean, in his 70s and was, you know, apparently very sick. So it was just very shocking and surprising and sad. And, you know, you never want to see somebody that you associate with your childhood being, you know, not well and passing away. So it was definitely kind of a shock. But then, you know, I also feel like I haven't really thought all that much about his show in quite a long time. So it was nice to sort of revisit all that. But definitely a shock. How about you?
Honestly, same. I mean, yeah, just, I mean, I think I was working, and, you know, my wife had just came into the office, or, you know, came in my room and was like, hey, Paul Rubens died. I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And like, I was like, are you sure? Cause like, you'll hear about like the celebrity deaths that are like totally fake or whatever. And so like, let me just jump on the old Google real quick. And sure enough, he had passed away. And again, it had mentioned he was dealing with cancer privately.
Yeah.
And not a lot of people knew about it. And so I guess he had put out a message right before he passed. I'm paraphrasing, but basically something along the lines, I'm so sorry, I haven't been active online lately. I've been dealing with some health issues on the back end, but I wish you all well, and I love you, and then very soon after that had passed away. So
yeah, crazy.
Very sad. Yeah, definitely super bummed. He was a big part of my childhood, not just as Pee Wee Herman, but other you know, movies and TV shows, which we'll talk about today, because that's what we're doing today. We are remembering the good times with Paul Rubens, with Pee Wee Herman. Yes. We're going to talk Pee Wee's Playhouse. We're going to talk the movies, all kinds of stuff. So super excited. Before we get into it, though, Amy, I would be remiss if I did not give you a chance to talk about your amazing podcast that I have also been able to be a guest on, the Pop Culture Retrospective. Would you like to throw in your show plug here?
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, so I host, produce, write, whatever you want to say it, all job titles for a podcast. Yes, called the Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast, which I started in the spring of 2020 as a way to sort of deal with the grief that came along with losing my sister in 2019. So as a way of kind of coping with that, I've decided to revisit a plethora of topics from our childhood and adolescence, everything from Nirvana to Notorious B.I.G. to Missy Elliott to the early days of Nickelodeon, all different topics, things that sort of hit on the things that we were into as kids and watched together and listened to together. So it's been a really fun, therapeutic way to kind of, you know, deal with the loss of my sister, but also, you know, kind of have fun along the way and remembering, kind of like you just said, you know, remembering happy moments and happy times, because there's a lot of really fun stuff to look back on from that era. I mean, I'm sure we're biased, yeah. But you know, 80s, well, 90s, and it's good times. It's good times.
Rose colored glasses, yeah. For sure. But I mean, that's okay. That's what everyone can be, feel that their childhood was the best, and that's totally fine.
Absolutely.
Our audience is going to feel the same way, theoretically.
Right.
So,
yes, exactly.
And you know, as far as being able to find the show, it's pretty much everywhere, right? As far as all the major podcast platforms.
Yep. It's on all platforms except for Stitcher, RIP Stitcher. So yep. Yes, on all major platforms. Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast. Yeah, say that.
And can also actually find it online. Your website is popcultureretrospective.com.
That is correct. Yes, I did finally get around to having a website for it. So I do blog posts and information about guests I've had on, all different kinds of information about the greatest, you know, generation of all time, which is the elder millennial / borderline Gen Xer generation. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, and that's that crossover for us here, because yes. You're definitely kind of older millennial. I'm younger millennial / whatever is after millennial. I don't know.
It's we're Generation S, as you said.
Yes. We're Generation S. Okay. There it is. So, let me ask you, have you ever done an episode on Pee-wee before for your show?
I have not. I'm pretty sure he's probably on the list. I have an actual notebook with lists in it. And I believe he is on there because... I mean, I just distinctly remember watching the show as a kid on Saturday morning. So not him specifically, but certainly he's been on the to-do list for sure.
Absolutely. Okay. Well, then this is exciting. This is your first time publicly talking about Pee-wee Herman with another individual. So
yeah.
Very cool.
Yep.
Well, then why don't we go ahead and, I mean, we'll start with the movies, right? Because those kind of got people exposed on a national, like mainstream level to Pee-wee Herman, but
yes.
You may recall, if you are a bit older, he actually started off with a special on HBO where he played Pee-wee Herman, but it was definitely geared more towards like adult audiences.
Yep.
You know, he was childlike, but the situations he got himself in on the special were definitely not kid friendly. I don't want to say rated R necessarily, but they were like adult themed, right?
Yeah.
Because I never watched it, but you said you did watch it?
I feel like I do have vague memories of watching it, because I feel like there was probably times where my family decided to have like the free trial of HBO. So I'm sure at some point that was on, you know, some kind of rerun. So, I think that was the special on HBO. I think that aired in, I want to say like 1981, and that sort of picked up some momentum, and that led to him appearing on a lot of Paul Rubinson is appearing on various talk shows. He's on David Letterman quite frequently, eventually Jay Leno and stuff like that. So I think that sort of started to build some traction from that special on HBO, which then kind of led into the films coming out. So it's interesting because he did note in some interviews I was watching that he's indicated that in a lot of cases, usually it starts with a TV show, then it becomes a movie. But in his case with the Pee-wee Herman character, it started with movies and then that led to a TV show, which I thought was an interesting observation.
Yes. Well, I'll say it right now. Pee-wee's Big Adventure is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, yes.
Like, hands down.
Absolutely.
Tim Burton directed it.
Yes.
And I love most of Tim Burton's work. I can't say I love all of his work, but especially the earlier 80s and 90s stuff. I mean, untouchable in my opinion as far as just style, and it was amazing. So
it was really interesting. I heard him kind of explain a little bit of a backstory about how Tim Burton came to be the director. So the studio didn't really know who was going to be the director, and Paul Rubens, I guess, went to a library and found a literal book of directors and wrote down like 100 names and gave it to the studio, and they narrowed it down to one person, and it was Tim Burton, and he actually didn't really know him all that well and wasn't really sure if he was going to be a good fit for the film. So he was actually kind of initially resistant to it, but Paul Rubens got some encouragement from some of his friends that had worked with him. And it really helped him be convinced that he should definitely have Tim Burton do it. And as we all know, that was a genius move, because that movie is a cult classic. It is fantastic. And I'm not a huge Tim Burton fan myself either, especially yeah, more recent stuff. I just can't quite get into it. But his directorial skills for this movie were, I mean, just outstanding. Such a good movie that I'm quite certain we rented, I mean, multiple times a year. I'm not sure why we didn't even just like own it, because we watched right. it so much.
Well, because VHS tapes were super expensive back in the day, you know, that's you didn't true. Just, you know, it wasn't like, I mean, I'm trying to remember, because like by the time I remember buying VHS tapes, they probably were cheaper because, you know, they were everywhere. But yeah. like back in the day when this movie would have come out, I remember tapes were probably like 40 or 50 bucks.
Yeah, easily.
And
yeah.
that was back in the 80s.
Right.
So like
easily, yeah.
you didn't own a lot of movies. And so that's why, you know, when you got the VCR, you could record stuff off TV. That's what made it so popular. And so I the first time I ever saw this was actually after I saw Pee-wee's Playhouse, which we'll obviously be talking about.
Yeah.
I saw this. I didn't realize this had come out first. Like I had no idea this was the first time you really saw Pee-wee Herman on the main stage.
Yeah.
But I watched it. I was like, this is incredible. Like it, cause it's like, it's a kid's movie. I mean, it really is. There's nothing. I mean, there's certainly like undertones of like over your head jokes type of deal.
Yeah,
but
definitely.
In general, like, it's a pretty innocent plot about Pee-wee trying to find his bike.
Yeah.
I mean, that's, I feel like there's not a lot of deep symbolism there.
Right.
But it's still hilarious. It's funny. It's dark and morbid sometimes. It's weird.
Yeah.
And you've got at the center of it all, you've got Pee-wee Herman, who for my money is one of the greatest TV characters like of all time. Like I'm trying to think of how you would describe Pee-wee Herman to somebody who's never heard of Pee-wee Herman. Like,
yeah. It is,
I don't know.
It is hard to describe. Yeah, he's like kind of, well, Paul Rubens said that the character was based off of some kids that he went to summer camp with. And I don't quite know where the voice came from, per se. Maybe that was another childhood thing. But yeah, it's kind of like a grown-up kid who, you know.
It's like a man-child.
Exactly. Man-child is one of the phrases that kept coming to mind. Right. Like, can I think of something else besides man? But yes.
But like not in like a gross or weird way, like
right.
it's like, because like you'll see like man, when I think of man child, I think of that guy that won't leave his parents' basement, that's
right.
like, you know what I mean, like he just, that's what I think of a man child, is that guy that just sits around and plays video games all day. This is like literally
right.
like the dude's living on his own,
right?
He's a snappy dresser, he's just kind of quirky and likes childlike things.
Yeah, it's kind of,
you
like,
know what I mean,
yeah, kind of, they're not the same, but it's sort of like, I sort of liken it to Artie from Pete and Pete, just in the sense of like it's an adult
yeah.
that kids can kind of look up to, find really funny, somebody that they could, you know, spend time with and, you know, laugh about stuff and maybe, you know, pull some pranks on people or something. And it would just be really fun. And I think part of the why we liked him so much, too, is that one of my dad's childhood friends was kind of, I mean, not really like Pee-wee Herman, but like him in the sense that he kind of never grew up, and he was
okay.
totally down to like play dinosaurs with us, or, you know, he bought me, I think he's the one that bought me my Vanilla Ice doll. You know, he was just very like into stuff that kids like, but not in a weird way. He just kind of
sure
never lost that part of himself that, you know, wanted to play. And so I think that's part of why we ended up watching it a lot and liking it, because it kind of reminded us of him. And my dad loved to this day, I mean, loves Pee-wee Herman, loves Paul Rubens. So I think that he could see a lot of his friend in Pee-wee Herman. So I think,
yeah,
you know, yeah, as a man child, but not like Adam Sandler and The Wedding Singer, I Live in My Parents' Basement.
That's kind of, yeah, what I was getting at.
Yeah.
Or Billy Madison,
right.
right? You know, where it's like, wow, this guy's despicable. It's like, no, it's charming.
Right.
He's quirky. It's like the best part of like childhood innocence.
Yes.
Like he doesn't lose the innocence of childhood. You know what I mean?
Right.
I guess that maybe that's a good way to describe it too.
Yeah. But it's like a grown up kid. And yeah. And I think my favorite scene of that movie, and I'm sure you remember this part too, is at the very beginning. Is I really liked it because he had this whole elaborate system in his house.
Oh, like the Rube Goldberg machine?
Yes, that made his like
yes.
pancakes and cracked the eggs and stuff. And that hooked me right away. Is like, I loved stuff like that. I wanted to have something like that. I think I tried to rig something like that to like turn on my lights in my room, which was like super lame compared to this thing. but just the imaginative, silly stuff, like what kid wouldn't want to grow up and slide down a, you know, fire pole to get to their kitchen, you know, all those things that like you think are just so cool as a kid somehow came to fruition in this movie, which I think is why kids and parents liked it so much.
Yeah, because it was. Yeah, he. I mean, one, it also made me think, like, okay, is he like a secret genius that can invent things? Because, like, I'm assuming he built that himself, right? This whole thing where he flips a switch or whatever, and he's getting ready for the day, and all of a sudden, like, his breakfast is cooked through the magic of a Rube Goldberg machine.
Right.
And his house just looks like, it's funny because, you know, when I saw it, I was like, this doesn't look like Pee-wee's Playhouse, but Pee-wee's Playhouse, I guess, is like a separate place that he goes.
Yeah.
Versus his regular house, which is where he, you know what I mean? But. Yeah, I mean, it looked, it was wild. Like, I love the designs. It was a very, it was the 80s. Like, it was very loud 80s design, right? Like, yeah. what people picture the 80s looking like in their heads,
right,
versus what it actually looked like, which is totally not the same. That's very true. Like, I think it's like a quintessential 80s cartoon house brought to life almost.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And okay, let me ask you this, because when he's eating his breakfast, he's got pancakes and then he's got Mr. T cereal.
Yes.
Was that a real cereal?
It was. Yes.
Okay.
And it was.
I never had it. Did you ever have it?
I didn't. No. It's very. I think it was a pretty short-lived thing. But that was pretty. Okay. Very 70s/80s thing is to have cereal. So like when Family Matters was on, for example, and I don't even remember this, but I was alive and remember everything from, you know, when Family Matters was on TV. Is there was actually a cereal called Urkelos.
Oh, okay. I think I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah,
and I think Pee Wee Herman even had a cereal. I think he had done a partnership with.
Wouldn't be surprised.
I think he did like a sugar-free cereal or whatever, because he was trying. Honestly, that was one thing I will say is just reading up on him in preparation for this was like he did a lot for kids, like charities and like just the well-being of kids. Like I remember, I think he was a smoker and like he never wanted to be photographed with a cigarette.
Yeah.
Like there's like in like he did a lot of anti-drug type stuff. So he really did a lot. And I think that's one thing that made me really admire him, despite all of the, you know, there's obviously controversy with him
sure.
and like later in his life. But he just seems like such a good guy. You know what I mean? And so
definitely. Yeah.
I think So. But going back to the movie again, it's a basic, if you've never seen the movie, go see it. Cause it's amazing.
Yeah.
But, the general premise is Pee-wee Herman is living his life and he's got this favorite bicycle. It's like the coolest bike I've ever seen. It's got all kinds of cool stuff on it. It's basically the Batmobile on two wheels as far as I'm concerned. And long story short, it gets stolen by his rich snobby friend named Francis.
Yep.
And he's got to go find it. So he ends up going on this crazy journey across the country to find his bike.
Yes.
He goes from fantastic landmarks in California, like those big dinosaurs in the desert that I remember from the movie The Wizard. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
I loved The Wizard, yes. On my Nintendo episode way, way, way back, I talked about The Wizard, too.
The Wizard.
So good.
So what are those? They're like famous dinosaurs. Like,
yeah, I think it's just like a dinosaur park and you can just go and...
Yeah.
Take your picture by them and climb up them and, you know, go up there with your lunchbox with your beloved photos of your long lost sibling and, you know, place
right.
in there. So,
keep talking about California.
Yeah.
So, and then he goes to the Alamo. That's actually a big plot point of the film is he shows up at the Alamo and is very disappointed when the Alamo doesn't have a basement. And then ends up like in the climax, the penultimate scene, he is on a Hollywood backlot. And I feel like this was a trope back in the day where like guys would run through movie sets and there would be like movie scenes going on at the same time. I don't know. Like when I think of that type of trope, I think of this movie, I think of like Gremlins 2.
Mm-hmm.
I think of like Blazing Saddles, you know what I mean? So it was a kind of a cliche, but it's still hilarious because he was
hysterical.
Just riding his bike through the, you know, the different sets or whatever. And then long story short, they want to make his whole story that we've been watching into a movie, but in the movie, his, Pee-wee Herman's actually the movie within the movie, I should say,
right.
Pee-wee Herman is actually played by, is it James Brolin?
I don't remember.
Josh, yeah, it's James Brolin, because Josh Brolin is the one who was in Goonies and played Thanos
right.
and all that stuff, and it was his dad that played Pee-wee Herman in the movie.
Wow, I completely forgot about who the actor was,
Yes.
Yeah.
And listen, we didn't even talk about another 90s icon that is in this movie.
Yeah.
Do you remember his girlfriend or his friend, whatever, Dottie, was played by Elizabeth Daly, who, if you know anything about Nickelodeon, know that she voiced Tommy Pickles in Rugrats.
Oh, God, that's right.
So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, one of the best scenes of that movie is when he loses his bike and then runs into the store where she works and screams Dottie and honks a horn and then passes out, which is just, there's so many good one-liners from this movie. And I know that anytime like a basement is referred to, I always go to, everybody knows there's no basement in the Alamo.
Yes.
You know, it's just so quotable. Such a quotable movie.
Oh, God. No, it is. It's an amazing movie. Now, there was a sequel that I admit I've never seen all the way through. It's called Big Top Pee-wee. Did you ever see that one?
Yes, I did see it, but the ratio of watching Pee-wee's Big Adventure to Big Top Pee-wee was certainly a huge, drastic difference. So I don't remember that movie quite as well, but I think compared, you know, the Pee-wee's Big Adventure is, you know, the standard, and the bar was so high that I think it would be impossible for anything to reach that. So certainly the plot kind of odd and kind of didn't work as well as Pee-wee's Big Adventure, but.
It was something, and again, because I've never seen it all the way through, but I basically, like, he joins a circus or he meets up with a circus, and
circus comes to the town where he lives. He, like, lives on a farm and has befriends
a
pig.
It's a different house than he was living in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yeah, he lives in a farmhouse, is still clad in his outfit, which, you know, doesn't seem like appropriate farm wear. I mean, I'm no expert, but the suit, I don't think...
Very impractical.
Yeah, it's very impractical for farming and all that good stuff. So, so he has, like, a fiance, I think, and then the circus literally comes to town, and he falls for a trapeze artist, and I think he ends up performing in the circus too. It just is quite bizarre. So, and I'm not a fan of circuses and clowns and stuff, so that I avoid.
Oh, well, okay. Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
Because I mean, going back to Pee-wee's Big Adventure, there is some scary moments in Pee-wee's Big Adventure. I mean, I think if you were to go on YouTube and type in Pee-wee Large Marge, that scene is kind of terrifying.
Yes.
As a kid, I mean, I was scared. It wasn't like super scary or anything like that, but it definitely made me jump.
Yeah.
And if you've seen it, if you know, like if you've seen that one scene, you know what I'm talking about with Large Marge.
Right.
But that's all I don't want to spoil it in case you are planning, you the listener are planning to go watch this movie that you have not seen yet for some reason.
Right.
So now, did Big Top Pee-wee come out still before Pee-wee's Playhouse?
It came out during. I think so. Pee-wee's Playhouse started in 1986, and I think Big Top Pee-wee came out in 1988. So it's kind of like midway through the TV show's run. So,
gotcha. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good transition. Then let's talk about. I mean, really, the reason most of us that are of this generation know Pee-wee Herman as like the mainstream icon is from Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's funny because I asked my wife, because I gave her first dibs. I said, "Do you want to do an episode with me about Paul Reubens?" And she goes, "I was not allowed to watch Pee-wee's Playhouse as a kid."
Huh.
So I don't know why. She said, "Is like, well, you know, because there was that controversy." I was like, "Yeah, that didn't come out until like the late '90s, well after this show, though."
Yeah.
And so, my guess is her parents just thought he was obnoxious or annoying or something, and that's why she was. Because I'll say this: like, as a parent, there are certainly shows that I try to have my kids not watch around me because they're kind of annoying.
Right.
I never found Pee-wee Herman annoying, but maybe my parents would have. I was allowed to watch it though, so I don't know.
Yeah.
But Pee-wee's Playhouse, as you said, came out in 1986. It went for, six seasons, I think, or something like that?
Yep, until the first sort of initial, unfortunate scandal.
Yeah.
That's what kind of ended it. Yeah, probably would have, it would have probably gone on for longer, too, but...
I think so. I mean, it had legs. Like it was the premise was pretty simple. You had I mean, it was basically like the old like 60s and 70s, like Captain Kangaroo and all these like Romper Room and all that stuff, where you had Pee-wee Herman, who, you know, people may or may not have known from the movies, but still he was, you know, he hangs out at his playhouse. He's got all kinds of zany stuff going on, and but it's educational, right? Every episode you definitely learn some stuff. You learn the secret word, which I still love to this day. The secret word.
Me too.
You know, it's a, you know, I was thinking actually before we started recording, I was like, should we do the secret word? But I'm like, nah, I just feel like it. I don't want to scream too much tonight. So I didn't want to, you know, but the secret word, you had the, remember the King of Cartoons?
Yep.
Where he would show like old cartoons that I didn't realize were like, some of them are like iconic cartoons that like are like super famous. I knew them from Pee-wee's Playhouse.
Yeah.
You know, they were like the old Disney cartoons or, you know, Merry Melodies maybe. I forget how, whatever ones, but they were like probably like public domain cartoons at the time or whatever.
Yes. Yep. And stock cartoons. Yeah. I kind of insert himself into those, which was pretty comical. And he used to do that a bit on some of the talk shows that he would go on to. I was watching some old clips of him on David Letterman, and he did kind of something similar, which is pretty funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty creative.
So I'm trying to, what are some other segments that like were, because I'm going to be honest with you, there's only one specific episode that I can remember other than like the Christmas special, which yeah. in and of itself was a very unique thing. But like, as far as like the regular series, there's only one episode I remember watching from start to finish at this point in my memory. Because I don't think you can really, well, I guess you could stream it on Netflix for a while and I just didn't.
Yeah.
But
yeah, there's
what
a,
are some...
Yeah, there's a fair amount of them on YouTube, which, you know, yeah. some, I bet now that he's passed away, people, those will get pulled down. But yeah, I remember there's a lot of segments that had to do with, well, one with like kind of inserting himself into the old TV clips, but then also stuff with clay animation. So there was a character named Penny.
Oh, the Penny cartoons.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
I remember that.
Yep. So that was a segment. And then I think a lot of it also had to do with like him interacting with some of his friends that were on the show, like the mail lady and the genie, who's, I think his name was Jambi.
Jambi, yep.
Thank you. I knew I was going to goof up the vowel on that one. Yeah. So there's that. And I'm trying to remember.
Do you remember there was one character that was on quite a bit, Cowboy Curtis?
Yes,
do you remember him?
I do.
Do you remember who he was played by?
I do. Lawrence Fishburne.
Lawrence, a.k.a. Morpheus from The Matrix.
I know. It's so crazy.
So that's wild.
Yeah.
and of course, he had like all of his talking furniture, right? You had Cherry.
Yep.
You had Globy. Mm-hmm. That was a very clever name, of course. Yeah. You had Conky the robot.
Yes.
You had Dog Chair. You had Flory, I think it was.
Yep.
I think he had like a talking floor.
Yeah.
You had a weird, creepy ventriloquist dummy that reminded me way too much of Chucky called Randy.
Yeah.
One thing I remember from the show, this was always fun, was every time he would open his fridge, there'd be like a show being performed inside the fridge with all the food, like claymation, stop motion.
Yeah.
And he would like tell him like, hey, keep it down.
Right.
And he would close the door again. So I always loved that. He would sometimes jump on like video calls because, you know, of course, very futuristic house. He had video,
right.
video call capabilities back in the 80s.
Yeah.
And he would put on like some kind of weird hat and then he would pick up a can and he would talk onto the TV and call somebody. It was different every time.
Yeah. I know, just all these little hokey little things. And it's kind of interesting to see it through an adult's eyes now. And I find a lot of it to be really entertaining and really funny. And just his observational humor, I think, really worked very well in the show. So I remember a character named Terry, who was his sidekick, Pterodactyl, who was like teal in color. And I think
flew
around at the opening credits of the show, I want to say. So that was another one of his good friends. And then there was also, which I totally forgot about this, but Phil Hartman was on the first season of the show. He played a character named Captain Carl.
Oh. And,
yeah, which totally forgot about that. But they actually met at the Groundlings, which is an improv comedy troupe school program that's in California.
Yeah.
So they met during that time, and also Paul Rubens and Kathy Griffin were good friends, and they met there as well, which I thought was pretty cool. I did a show on Kathy Griffin, another kind of long back catalog episode, which was really interesting, but she put a really nice post up about him and their friendship
nice.
And stuff like that. Yeah. And I'm trying to think. I think there's Miss Yvonne, played by Lynn Marie Stewart, who kind of, I think, was dressed like very 1950s in her
yes.
kind of dresses, and her hair stuck out and was very, she had it styled very perfectly, never wanted it to get wet or messy. So certainly there's even more than that. I mean, there was just tons and tons of characters.
Well, then there was just the actual, like, he would bring celebrity guests on the show, right? You
yeah.
know, like playing themselves. Like, I'm thinking like mainly of like the Christmas special where he had like Oprah on there. He had Whoopi Goldberg. He had, Joan Rivers on there, I think.
Yeah.
You had, what is her name? Is it Charo? Is that her name?
Oh yeah. Yeah, she wrote a tribute about him.
Oh, she did? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, and I guess Paul Rubens identified Joan Rivers as actually being a mentor to him.
Somebody oh, really?
That he really
okay.
looked up to and took a lot of inspiration from, which I thought was really
yeah.
cool. And I think it's really nice, especially during the 70s and 80s, where I feel like women had a really hard time kind of getting into stand-up comedy and being respected by their male counterparts. I think
yeah.
he really kind of broke the mold of that and being really supportive and encouraging of his female comedian friends, which I think just adds to the
absolutely
cool, the cool factor of seemed
Paul
like a pretty
Rubens.
Cool guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you know, and this, we're not talking about Joan Rivers today, but a fun fact, yeah. you mentioned that. So there's a show on Amazon Prime called The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel. Have you seen mm-hmm. that show?
I've seen a few episodes of it, but not.
So supposedly that is like a lot of that is based off of Joan Rivers' career.
Wow.
Yeah. So I learned that, like, I mean, near the end of the series, but I was just doing some research, and apparently a lot of those elements were based on, like, the struggles that Joan Rivers had gone through in, like, the 50s and the 60s.
Wow.
So I thought that was kind of cool. Anyway, yeah. So, but really cool that Paul Rubens was definitely, you know, an admirer of hers and again, brought her on the show, and it was just, yeah. So, as far as Pee-wee's Playhouse, the only episode I can remember was one where Pee-wee meets a monster. Do you remember this one?
Doesn't ring a bell, but sounds like a Pee-wee's Playhouse episode for sure.
Well, so basically the entire first part of the episode, everyone's like running away scared, like, oh, there's a monster on the loose. And Pee-wee's like, there's no such thing as monsters. this is my really bad Pee-wee Herman impression. Long story short, he ends up meeting this monster who is a giant one-legged, one-eyed monster, which, again, for the adults listening to this, like, yeah, he encountered a one-eyed monster. Yeah. But his name was Roger, and the problem was he was just making weird gibberish monster sounds until Pee-wee, you know, goes, you know, to Jambi, the genie head, and says, I need to understand this monster. And so basically they just make it so that he speaks English instead. And all of a sudden he's like, hello, my name's Roger. And they're just interacting with him. And he's like, well, you want to stay for dinner, Roger? I got to go home, Pee-wee. And so, like, it turns out that I think the moral of the story was that, like, hey, even the scariest things, you know, aren't so scary once you get to know them.
Yeah.
And so I think because there was always like a lesson to be learned, you know, with each episode.
Right. You could learn what you could do with, yeah, definitely. And you could also learn, like, what to do with a giant pair of underwear.
I mean, that's important. The possibilities are endless, but yes,
it is.
Absolutely. Yep. So the Christmas special, because I wanted to give it its own time here on this episode. Did you watch have you seen the Christmas special?
I remember watching it, but the details of it are escaping me. But okay. Anything Pee Wee Herman related, if it was on TV, we were going to watch it. What, like, hell, come hell or high water, if Pee Wee Herman was on, my dad was, yeah.
So Pee Wee Herman's Christmas special got super famous like 10 or 15 years ago. Like, I don't know if it was because it was considered a meme or whatever, but I had never seen it until then. And then I put it on. It was on Netflix at the time. And I watched it. I'm like, this is amazing. Like, it's hilarious. Like, the whole premise is Pee Wee Herman is wanting to, like, get everything he can from Santa Claus, right? He just wants he wants all the gifts, and all his friends keep bringing him gifts, and he's so excited, and then they all end up bringing him a fruitcake, which is, like, I guess that was a thing back, I haven't heard about it much these days, but back in the day, apparently fruitcake was, like, the worst Christmas gift you could get or something.
Yeah.
Which I don't know why. I actually kind of like fruitcake, so I don't know why people are getting so up in arms about it, but, so anyway, long story short, you know, he meets Santa Claus and he's like, yeah, I want all the gifts. And Santa's like, all right, well, fine. If I give you all the gifts, then no one else gets any presents. But if that's what you want, and, like, he feels bad, he's all right, fine. Just, you know, we'll go give the gifts to the other kids and, you know, all that stuff. Yeah. But there's a lot of celebrities in it. I mentioned Charo, Joan Rivers, Oprah. Wow. So it's just, and it's fun. There's definitely some 80s celebrities that I don't remember. So I can't remember them now either. But it was really cool. So I wanted it. And when it got off Netflix, I ended up finding it, like, on iTunes, and I bought it. And so now every year at Christmas time, that is part of our, like, Christmas specials rotation that we do. You know what I mean?
With nice. I got to add. Yeah. I'm going to need to add that to the list. Cause anything that involves Oprah, Joan Rivers, sign me up, because
it's terrific. And Whoopi Goldberg, isn't it? I think she's I forget why she's on there, but she's trying to, like, get on Pee-wee's show or something like that. But that's a good one. My kids love it too, so I'm it's not just for me, it's for them, obviously. So so Pee-wee's Playhouse, obviously the reason we are talking here today, but that doesn't mean it's the only reason we're talking here today, because he was certainly in a number of you know, films and animated series and all this kind of stuff after the fact. What are some of your favorite memories of him, not as Pee-wee Herman, as far as other characters in movies or shows?
Yeah, I think my favorite appearance that he made was on 30 Rock. So I'm a huge 30 Rock, Tina Fey fan. And so he made an appearance as this really bizarre, like, prince on the show. And he had, like, really pale makeup on and sort of this, like, regal suit on, and his character was just so odd, and I think he had, like, really teeny tiny hands and, like, white gloves and, like, was sweating a lot, and
I think I remember that. Yeah
so it was awesome. Just yeah, it was just so much different than Pee-wee, who's certainly an obscure character for sure, but just completely different than what we're used to kind of seeing him as. And yeah. I think it was executed very well because he was very awkward, very unlikable, very just a strange human that you would not want to sit next to at a dinner party. And he did it brilliantly. So
yeah.
I'd say that was my favorite, favorite role of his.
So I have a couple. There's a couple of movies I'm going to bring up, and you tell me if you've seen him, if you remember that he was in them, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's start with a big one, Matilda.
Yep.
So do you remember him in that?
Yes, I do. Yeah, starring in Matilda was played by the young woman who was in Mrs. Doubtfire, I believe.
Yeah, Mara Wilson.
Yeah, thank you. Yes, thank you. Yeah, that is correct. Yes.
Yep. And so, yeah, so Paul Rubens played one of the police officers or FBI or whatever that was investigating all of the misdeeds of Matilda's parents. And so hilarious, small bit part, but hilarious.
Yeah.
I feel like he does really well in small bit parts. Another one that comes to mind is another obscure 90s movie that I love. Like every time I saw it on TV, I'd watch it. It was called Dunstan Checks In. Do you remember this movie?
I do remember this movie. I believe the name, I'm not going to get the name, but I believe the little boy that was in that movie was in the Santa Claus.
Yeah, he played Charlie in the Santa Claus movies. Yeah. And again, yeah, I don't remember his name either. I feel really bad. I should have looked it up. But
I know. I want to say it's Eric something. Don't ask me why I think it's that.
I think I was going to say the same thing, actually. So
yeah.
But yeah, so it's about this little boy whose dad runs a hotel. So he basically lives in the hotel and meets a pet orangutan that escapes from a really mean owner.
Yeah.
And so Paul Rubens' character is basically this like animal hunter. He's basically like the bad guy version of Ace Ventura. Where that's what I would equate him to, where he's basically hunting for Dunstan in this hotel, and he's just it's hilarious. So like I'll actually I'll quote him every once in a while, or like I'll be looking around the house for something, and my wife will be like, "What are you looking for?" I'll be like, "I'm looking for a Pongo Pygmaeus." Because apparently that is like whatever the Latin is for orangutan. And so he throws it out there. And so anyway, it's a very obscure quote that most people listening to this probably have no idea. But it's a funny movie. Go see it.
Yeah, you'd be surprised.
Another one that he had a bit of a larger role in is another one of my favorite movies from the late 90s. It's called Mystery Men. Did you ever see that movie?
I did not see that. I'm familiar with it, but I have not seen it.
Okay, so Mystery Men, basically it's a superhero movie about these ragtag superheroes that have to save this big main macho superhero.
Yeah.
I think he's called Captain Amazing, or I honestly can't remember. It's been a while since I've seen the movie, but I do love it. And Paul Rubens plays a superhero called the Spleen, and his superpowers is that he can fart strong enough to knock people out. That's literally his only superpower. And
dad would definitely like that movie then. So I'll pass that along. Well, Paul Rubens and flatulence.
He'll No, it's fantastic. So it stars Ben Stiller as the main superhero.
Oh geez. Oh man. That's like going to be next on my like to watch list.
And then Greg Kinnear plays Captain Amazing.
Nice.
And then, Casanova Frankenstein, that's the name of the villain. He is played by Jeffrey Rush, who is also Captain Barbossa in the Pirates of the Caribbean movies.
Wow.
So I can't believe you've never seen this movie.
This is like a who's who of...
Yeah, I mean, Kel Mitchell's in it from Kenan and Kel.
Yes, okay, yes. Yeah, it's all coming back. Like,
and then, what's it, the comedian? Who's the female comedian? Shorter with dark hair. God, she was like super famous in the 90s.
Janine Garofalo?
Yes, Janine Garofalo's in it.
Okay, well, so, that's...
It is a who's who. You need to watch this movie and report back to me, please.
Yeah, I will. Yeah, that'll be the next podcast episode, guest appearance.
Absolutely.
We can examine this thoroughly.
It's a good one. Yeah. So, so that's one. So here we go. The most obscure thing I ever saw Paul Rubens in, was from a show that I didn't watch it when it came out, cause it was on like Showtime or something back in the '80s, but I rented it at the library, cause you could rent movies at the library back. You still can. But, the show was called Fairy Tale Theater. Do you remember this show?
That sounds familiar.
It was hosted by Shelley Duvall episode.
Yes, they were very close friends.
Yes.
And she was the one, going off the rail here for a second, but she was one of the people that really encouraged Paul Rubens to be open to working with the director for Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Oh, Tim Burton.
Yeah. So once she kind of confided in him that he was really, you know, a gifted director, then that kind of sealed the deal for him. So, but anyways, back to...
Yeah. So do you remember the show though?
Where I she do.
Would yeah. So yes. Like every episode was a different fairy tale, basically. So you had like the Three Little Pigs. You had Aladdin. You had like the Princess and the Pea. So he played. He was in the episode Pinocchio, and so he played Pinocchio.
Oh, God, that's right.
And so I actually tried to.
Weird.
There's a few other people in that episode in particular that were like that ended up being very famous. The main one was Michael Richards, Kramer from Seinfeld, was one of like the thugs or whatever that kidnaps Pee-wee. And so So as far as like the most obscure thing I've ever seen Paul Reubens in, that would be it.
Yeah.
And, like if you're listening to this and you've never heard of Fairy Tale Theater, like go find it. I think it's on YouTube. And it's out there. Like the first episode they ever did, just as an example, was like The Princess and the Frog. And the frog was played by Robin Williams. So like they had a lot of famous people. Like Christopher Reeve was in an episode.
Wow.
Yes. I mean, Jeff Goldblum played the big bad wolf in The Three Little Pigs.
Wow.
And then, so it's a fantastic show. Like it's I don't know. I can't hype it up anymore. It's very good. So
yeah, I definitely remember that.
Yeah, that's like I said. That's probably the most obscure thing I ever saw Paul Reubens in. But and I didn't really, I know he did like a lot of like cartoon animated stuff. I just never saw it, so I don't know. And then I know he actually had. I still haven't seen it, but have you seen that Netflix movie he did, Pee-wee's like Big Holiday or whatever it is?
No, I didn't. I think that came out in 2016, and I know there's a lot of kind of stuff in the works on the sort of the docket to sort of bringing the character back, and I think people are really receptive to Pee-wee becoming a character again, and I think the movie was pretty well received from what I was reading, but I did not see that, unfortunately, but maybe somebody has uploaded it somewhere that I can watch.
Well, it's on Netflix. I mean, if you have Netflix, it's still on Netflix.
Oh, it's still there. Okay.
It should, because it's like a Netflix original, so who knows? But I think I saw clips of it, but I've never seen the whole thing. I've heard it's actually really good, though. Like, it's like, if you like Pee-wee's Big Adventure in particular, this one is definitely kind of up that alley. So it's on my list, and maybe now, especially with everything that's happened, I will watch it sooner than later. It's a tribute to Paul Reubens.
Yeah, and it's amazing that when he played Pee-wee, you know, all these years later, after becoming a popular character in the early 1980s, that he still looked relatively young. You know, you'd think somebody playing the same character that they played 30 years earlier would look like an old, just an old dude playing Pee-wee Herman. But it's amazing how he was still able to sort of capture that same energy, despite being a chain smoker and being 30, 40 years older than he was when the character was so well known.
Yeah. Well, he never really got fat, right? So that's like the first thing you notice when somebody that's older plays a character is like they've gained weight. Like a little bit. Like his face maybe got a little puffier or whatever. But like for the most part, he maintained relatively decent physique.
Yeah.
And then like his hair, I think his hair maybe was thinning, so maybe he wore like a hair piece, but again, that's not, it's more so like the face. And of course the thing with Pee-wee is he always had makeup on, right? Like that was, I don't know if that was like intentional, like you're supposed to know he has makeup, or if it's like you're not, I don't know, but he always had the very kind of white face with the dark red lips. So when you've got makeup on and you're relatively thin always, like and the voice, I mean, even the voice, it sounded a little bit older, but I think he still had it in him even at the end there with the Pee-wee voice.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so amazing how he was able to create that character. And I think it was something that kind of came out of the whole Groundlings thing, because I think he felt like he would never be a traditional stand-up comedian. So kind of being in character was just kind of his shtick, and he stuck with it until the end, which is pretty, pretty impressive.
Yeah. I hope, people will now be going back and watching this, all of his work if they hadn't already, Pee-wee and otherwise, because he does have a fantastic body work and he really is a brilliant actor. And so I just hope that with everything that it's unfortunate that something like this has to happen for people to go, oh, you know what? Yeah, I did appreciate him, or I'm going to go check out his stuff. And I'm guilty of it too. Cause again, there's a lot of stuff I haven't seen that I'm going to go watch now because, well, it's just, I never did. And now is as good a time as any.
Yeah.
And so,
definitely.
It's the end of an era. It's the end of an icon. I don't know how you want to put it, but, rest in peace, Paul Reubens.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And hang on to those, Pee-wee Herman dolls.
Right. I never had one. Did you have one?
I did not know. I'm sure that I would have wanted one. Yeah. We had a lot of sort of interesting, iconic dolls of the era, from a Michael Jackson, you know, figure to Vanilla Ice. But unfortunately, the Pee Wee Herman doll is not in the collection. That, and I didn't have an Urkel doll either.
I was just asking, did you have a Steve Urkel doll? But no. Okay.
I didn't know. But apparently so when Pee Wee Herman, when the show was at its peak, I think the merchandise between the dolls and some clothing and a couple other things, it was like a multi-million dollar.
Oh yeah.
Business or whatever. And sales was kind of crazy, which makes a lot of sense. And I think even prior to his death, that, the Pee Wee doll, I think, is a pretty big collectible item for nostalgia nerds like ourselves, who I'm sure pay quite a lot for an original Pee Wee Herman, you know, doll in the box and all that good stuff. So,
yeah. No, I never had the Pee Wee doll. I never Urkel. You know what I did have, though? Totally off topic here, but did you ever have the Beetlejuice doll?
No.
Do you remember this? Did you ever see it?
It sounds familiar. I didn't have it. Maybe my cousins did, but.
Well, so it was very similar in size to the Pee Wee doll. It was soft, but had like a hard head. And what you could do is you could spin his head around.
Oh, God.
And then you push his back, and then his head would spin really fast. Like that was his big thing. Nice. I think he had a pull string as well, that he would talk. That was the big thing, right?
You have to talking.
So I think he did that. But I didn't really have, I didn't have a Pee Wee doll. I didn't have a Vanilla Ice or Freddy Krueger. I know that was another doll that was really popular. I didn't have him. I just had Beetlejuice. But there was a ton of merchandise for Pee Wee Herman. It was at its peak, was like, I mean, I'd say it probably rivaled maybe not Ninja Turtles popularity, but it was up there.
Right.
Like there was Pee Wee everywhere.
Right. Yeah. Such a unique character. And I think it's one of the staying power too. It's sort of one of those things from the '80s that, you know, it's from the '80s, like, you know, it's kind of dated, but at the same time you can go back and watch it as an adult and it's not like torturous to watch it. It's actually really funny and super creative and super funny. So, you know, hopefully there'll be another generation of kids and young people that are interested in it, because it certainly has some staying power.
Yeah. There's not a lot of shows from 30 years ago that I can say, like, this holds up. And this show, Pee-wee's Playhouse, holds up. Everything Pee-wee Herman has done holds up, in my opinion.
Right. Right.
And again, I could be biased because of my age, but I truly think, again, my kids have watched it. They like it. So I don't think it's just me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And do you find yourself, if you are ever at, let's say, like a wedding or something like that, if the song Tequila comes on, do you feel the need to?
Am I doing the dance? You better believe I'm doing the dance.
Yeah.
I don't have a pair of like giant platform shoes to really pull it off, but
I
make do with what I've got. And yes. Yeah. I know it's funny because I made a note here. It's like, all right, make sure you shout out the song Tequila before we jump off. So that's perfect. Yeah. So go listen to the song Tequila. It's the easiest song to do in karaoke ever. So it's a great song. Yeah. Right. It's the best song for karaoke. And the best song to dance to, because you can probably pull off both at the same time.
Right. I'm going to keep that in mind. You know, the next time most of my friends are all already married, or, you know, that's just or not going to get married, which is totally fine. But, you know, I think the next time I am slated to go to a wedding, I'm going to find a humongous pair of, white loafers and shove them in my trunk, just in case, God forbid, that song comes on, so that I'm ready to go. Because that would be a crying shame to not have the attire and the footwear if that song came on.
Oh, well, yeah. Well, bring $10 with you, too, and guarantee the song get played. Just tip the DJ, man. You're good to go.
That's true. Yeah. That's true. Play it in like 5 minutes. I need to go around to my car.
And, well, just give me a second. I got to get the tie on and everything like that. Because those bow ties, man, they're not easy to tie. So you got to get like either the clip on or whatever. But
that's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think we've done justice to Paul Rubens today. If you're listening to this and there's memories you want to share, just make sure you reach out to us on social media. Shoot us a message at generation. I think it's generation_S_podcast or .S. I don't remember. Just search generation S podcast. I promise you it shows up. I suck at this. I'm so not good at social media plugging. You are so much better than me, Amy, with what you do with your social media than I am.
I try, but it's like a full-time job, really.
It is.
And it's fun. And I'm not saying that it's like, cause I'm, you know, I enjoy it, but it's certainly it's a lot to take care of, for sure.
Yeah. It is. Yeah. And then I've got, you know, I've got this podcast. I've got another podcast now that I'm doing. So I'll give that a quick plug. Hold on a second here. If you like scary movies and if you like drinking beer, check out Beer Before Fear. It is a podcast about craft beer and scary movie reviews. So make sure you check that out. We are on episode 3 that just came out last week. A Nightmare on Elm Street is what we covered. So if you're into scary movies and or drinking really good beer, it's a podcast for you. So anyway, there's my quick plug there. But again, super busy with that. I've got this. I do work for another kids podcast network. So I'm all over the podcasting world right now. Yeah. But that means that I kind of suck at the other part of podcast promotion and I need to get a lot better. even with, you know, we got our YouTube channel as well, putting out weekly content for YouTube. It's a lot. Like if I got paid to do this and this was my full-time job, I'd be in heaven. But it's unfortunately not. So I'm having to do this outside of regular work hours to get everything done.
Right. But, it's a labor of love.
It is. It is. And and listen, hey, if you like what you're listening, you, the listener, if you like what you're listening to and you want to hear more of this stuff, make sure you're leaving that positive review on iTunes or leaving that 5-star review on Spotify, because the more people that listen to this, the more there is a possibility that I could get paid to do this for a living. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'd love for it to happen. And you can be a part of that just by telling a friend about the show, leaving a review, and go buy a t-shirt. I've got a link to the merch. I always forget to plug the merch thing, too. I suck at this, Amy. So yeah. you gotta check out the merch.
It's hard. Right. Well, there's like a level of guilt to it. You know, you feel kind of guilty, but you know, it's like, but you know, you're pouring so much work and into the show. So it's, you know, you gotta plug it.
You do. It's true. Well, and again, that's why important. Once helps, again, helps let's give our listeners access to your show. It's Pop Culture Retrospective Podcast at popcultureretrospective.com or on any of your major
There's
podcast
merch there
outlets.
Too.
You've got merch? See, she's got
I've
merch.
Got a, I've got a link to the merch there. Yes.
Yeah. No, yeah. We're out here. We're doing this thing and it's a labor of love. You know, it's fun.
It is.
But anyway, that's going to wrap it up for this week's episode, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And Amy, as always, thank you for coming on the show. I will absolutely bring you back on again for a three-peater.
Nice. Figure out. Yeah. And likewise, you're always welcome.
Yeah.
Always
I'd love to come back
on
your
my show too.
Yes. Yeah. Well, if you're a regular listener of this show, you probably noticed 2 weeks ago I was on vacation, so I had to throw up an episode that I did with Amy on her show where we talked all about Nickelodeon. So that was great. I appreciate you getting that to me so that we could pop that up on here, and hopefully it brought some listeners to your page for the other stuff.
Definitely collaborating and meeting other podcasters is one of the best things.
It's awesome.
And meeting listeners.
I love talking to podcasters on the show. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good deal. We're cut from the same cloth. So.
Yes, absolutely. All right. Well, guys, thank you so much for listening. Amy, once again, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, happy to be here.
Yes. And with that, we'll talk to you soon.
Goodbye.